بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا محمد وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين واللعنة الدائمة الأبدية على أعدائهم أجمعين لقيام يوم الدين. إن شاء الله we are going to continue our sessions on the ziyarat of our imams علي الصلاة والسلام, and we started with the etiquettes of ziyarat until we were talking about the Najaf al-Ashraf. The Najaf al-Ashraf. So etiquettes of Najaf al-Ashraf, it's of course your Imam Amir al-Mu'mineen, the chief of the believers. It's his house, it's his shrine. And imagine you are looking at him, but with your heart, because you cannot look at the souls with your eyes, but you can look at the souls with your heart. You can feel them, you can feel their presence, you can touch them with your heart. So that is the kind of connection and communication we are looking forward with our infallibles alayhi salatu wasalam. So we were talking about Najaf al-Ashraf, basically Kufa and Najaf. We gave a little bit brief about the Kufa. Now we are going to talk about the Najaf itself, which was the cemetery. It has a huge cemetery, maybe the biggest historical cemetery in the world could be Najaf al-Ashraf, because it has graves from Prophet Hud alayhi salam. Imagine Hud and Saleh, Prophet Nuh alayhi salam. Assalamu alayka, you are giving salams to Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam. You are saying Assalamu alayka wa ala daji'ika Adam wa Nuh. Grave of Prophet Adam is there. Salamullah alayhi. So it's an old cemetery. Prophet Adam, Prophet Nuh, Prophet Hud, Prophet Saleh, Salamullah alayhi. And until now, people are buried there. It's a huge cemetery. And there's a special characteristics for it. In the riwayat, it is Wadi Salam. It's the gate to the paradise. When people, they die, the soul either it goes to the hell of the barzakh, of the life after death, or it goes to the paradise of the life after death. So this is the Wadi Salam, Valley of Peace. Is the gateway to the paradise of the people of paradise when they die. And then they are taken from there to the huge paradises. Anyhow, that's another story. We have spoken about a lot about Wadi Salam in our journey of the soul. When a person dies, what happens? The main thing is that it's a huge cemetery. So number one, Mu'mineen are there. Many people, they buy land there and they have family cemeteries. They have bought big lands inside this and they have built chambers. That means the families, whoever dies from this family. And if you get a time, if you see an open chamber, try to go down. We took the youth down to show them how the graves are buried in the wall. In the basement, there is wall. In the wall, have you seen that mortuary drawers? They bury like Qibla is like this. They bury the body like this and they close on the head side. So the head side becomes the tombstone. So they bury like this in the drawers type. Like this is the head, this is the leg. The bayat goes like that. You will see a lot of chambers. We have taken photographs, inshallah. If we have time, we will make a PowerPoint of those photographs which we took about the inside, the grave, the family graves, family chambers. So ziyarat of Qubur, visitation of the Qubur, because these are all living with their souls, and if you come and visit them, they appreciate the visitors. And then inside this Wadi Salam, there is a grave of Prophet Hud and Prophet Saleh. Assalamu alayka wa ala jaraika Hudin wa Saleh. And there are other Anbiyas. We don't know how many Anbiyas. These are whatever been narration. Because Kufa being the land of retirement of the Anbiya, when the Prophets, they finish their responsibilities and duties, they come and they reside in Kufa. What does that mean? That means that it is a place when they die, they are buried as well. So that's why there may be more than these prophets, you know, because we have about numbers of prophets which are mentioned in narration, 124,000. If half of, or if one quarter of those, like let's say 124,000, a lakh, so half of them is 50,000. A quarter of the 25, about 25,000, let's say. Let's say even if 25,000 of prophets, they came and they resided here and retired and died, then you are expecting 25,000 prophets in this cemetery. Because it's an ancient land. All the prophets, they came to Kufa. And many of them, they died in Najaf al-Ashraf. Even in Hajar Ismail in Mecca. In Hajar Ismail, the Arch of Ismail in Holy Kaaba, and beside the Holy Kaaba where you cannot go through it while performing Tawaf, it's mentioned that there are 70 prophets buried there. 70 prophets buried in that arch. So there are so many prophets, they were sent around the world globally. So maybe Prophet Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam sent representatives around the world because his message went all around the world. Then the flood came and destroyed the whole world, who were disbelievers and idol worshippers and evil ones, evil doers. So Prophet Nuh must have for each region, he must have sent prophets all around the earth to give them the message. And finally, if they don't listen, then the flood will take them all over. So anyhow, these are like some intellectual probabilities which might have happened. So therefore, this is a huge cemetery. You go and you visit Prophet Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, Prophet Saleh, because their graves are only known in that area. And then, now we come to Najaf al-Ashraf. Najaf al-Ashraf, first of all. Najaf al-Ashraf was established. Before, it was a little cemetery town. Like, you know, like whenever you go, like in a village cemetery, whenever there's cemetery, there are few people, they live around that cemetery. So let's say you went to this cemetery, you will see few people there looking after the cemetery, caretakers, or someone who does want to leave that area. Like, for example, when Imam Hussein was martyred in Karbala, Karbala was a desert. Karbala was a desert. But people, those people, they did not want to leave Imam Hussein. They just wanted to stay there, cry and mourn and grieve. They started building their houses there. Slowly, slowly it became a city. Karbala became a city. And now, inshallah, they are going to build an airport in Karbala. I heard that they are building an airport in Karbala. So therefore, it was nothing. Karbala was a desert land, pure desert land. There was no one living there. And when Imam Hussein was martyred, slowly, slowly. So this is Wadi Salam also. Imagine like Najaf al-Ashraf. Najaf al-Ashraf was a city because Imam Ali is buried there. So they are followers of Ahlul Bayt, those who love Imam Ali and they don't want to leave the site of Imam Ali. They made their houses and established a city. But city was the Kufa. Kufa was basically the city. And Najaf was a cemetery. But people started to live in Najaf. So what happens in the House al-Ilmiya, the Islamic knowledge, advanced Islamic judiciary knowledge system was where? Was in Baghdad. Because remember the 12th Imam Ajjalallahu Ta'ala Warajahu Sharif and Imam Hassan al-Askari were in Samarra, Northern Iraq, we're going to talk about it. After the occultation, the representative of the 12th Imam, they were in Baghdad. They are four buried in Baghdad. When we'll come to Baghdad, we'll talk about it. But nowadays, we don't visit because of the security reasons. And that area is not safe for the followers of Ahlul Bayt. Uthman ibn Sa'id and Muhammad ibn Uthman and Hussein ibn Ruh and Ali ibn Muhammad al-Samari, all these four are buried in Baghdad. Sharif al-Radi, the Hawza al-Ilmiya, the Hawza as at the traditional style which we have started from Baghdad. So Sharif al-Radi, Sharif al-Murtada. Sharif al-Murtada was the first marja after Sheikh al-Mufid. Sheikh al-Mufid and then Sharif al-Murtada. So they were in Baghdad. Like Sheikh al-Mufid, he was close to the time of occultation. So Sheikh al-Mufid is very well known marja of the time. And Allama al-Kulaini, of course. Sheikh al-Kulaini, the author of Usul al-Kafi. But like a faqih, as a jurisprudent, as a mujtahid, as a jurist, Sheikh al-Mufid was known. Sheikh al-Mufid was known. And after that, Sharif al-Murtada, his student, Alam al-Huda. And after that, Sheikh al-Tusi came in Baghdad. Sheikh al-Tusi was a giant. He had a huge library and he was flourishing the people with knowledge. What happens that Buwayhis, they got a little bit problem with Sheikh al-Tusi. They felt threatened, something happened. And they just deported Sheikh al-Tusi from Baghdad. They burned his library, everything. Sheikh al-Tusi came in a very depressed situation in Najaf al-Ashraf. Amir al-Mu'mineen grave was there and he started from the scratch. So the House al-Ilmiya in Najaf al-Ashraf, which we see now, Ashraf, Ayatullah al-Uzma Sayyidi Sistani is there, and our other Maraja, this was established 1,000 years before. Sheikh al-Tusi was in about 400 Hijri, now it's 1,400. So that's why he was a giant. He was known in Tafsir, Rijal, Hadith, all the Islamic science which are required for ijtihad, for jurisprudence. So he was a giant, he was a master. And then in the history, very rarely there were personalities who had this haymana, hayba like Sheikh Tusi, until Sayyid Abul Qasim al-Khoi, Ayatullah al-Uzma Sayyid Abul Qasim al-Khoi, the giant. So that's why it started, the Najaf flourished with the Hawza from Sheikh Tusi, and Saddam la'natullah alayhi tried to eliminate this efforts of Sheikh Tusi and the Maraj after him to keep Najaf surviving. Of course, there were times the Hawza moved to Hilla, the Hawza moved to Damascus, Syria, the Hawza moved to Jabal Am in Lebanon, and then it came back to Najaf. It came back to Najaf. A little bit time in Karbala and Qum, there was a little bit activities of the Hawza going on. The problems happened in Najaf because of Saddam. Qum became flourished because most of the Mujtahideen, they went there and they brought life to the Hawza of Qum. But alhamdulillah, now with the Ayatullah al-Uzma Sayyidi Sistani there, many of those giant teachers, they came back to Najaf al-Ashraf for Qum. Now they're building the Najaf back again. So Najaf al-Ashraf, that's why we say min al-Tusi إلى الخوئي. الشيخ الطوسي was giant in tafsir. سيد الخوئي was giant in tafsir. الشيخ الطوسي was giant in hadith. سيد الخوئي was giant in hadith. الشيخ الطوسي was giant in رجال. سيد الخوئي was giant in رجال. الشيخ الطوسي in أصول. سيد الخوئي in أصول. They both have a lot of similarities, and they are key personalities for Hauza. One is buried inside the shrine of Imam Ali عليه الصلاة والسلام, which is called Al-Masjid Al-Akhdar, Green Mosque. And one is buried exactly outside, across. You cross the road and you will see a big monument or masjid type structure. Sheikh Tusi, across the haram of Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam, just beside. So these two are buried great personalities. And also say Muhammad Baqir al-Hakim, who was martyred. You will find the explosive where they martyred him. It is on the other side of, when you go there, you will ask, they will show you the places. And then also inside the shrine of Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam, beside Imam Ali and Adam and Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam, there is Allama al-Hilli. Remember that 10 years old scholar who became a mujtahid when he was 10 years old, the giant when he was like tiny. Look at anyone who is 10 years old, doing amama and all those kind of things. Like Allama al-Hilli. Like Allama al-Hilli was an amazing person. If you look into the stories and the merits of Allama al-Hilli and how his akhlaq and how his behavior and how his debating ability, now what are the books? He's left a lot of important books for our Islamic library, for the followers of Ahlul Bayt. So he has one book, Lawla Kitabul Al-Fayn. Like if it was not for the book of 2000, and Ziyarat al-Hussein, visiting Imam Hussein, لقسمت الفتاوى ظهري نصفين. The fatwas which I have been given, I have been held accountable and questionable for every single fatwa, from where this is, which evidence, because every mujtahid is responsible. They are putting their lives in this situation just for the sake of that we can easily follow the Sharia. So this Allama, when he died, he had this two quotes. If it was not for Book of Al-Fain, Kitab of 2000, what is this Book of 2000? 2000 evidences, religious from Quran, religious from Hadith, religious from intellect, logical, religious from history, historical, logical, intellectual, Quranic and Hadith evidences supporting the imamate of Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salatu wasalam. 2000 evidences. Imagine, it's not a small number. Allama al-Hilli made this, and he saw the 12th Imam and the support of the 12th Imam. Like one night he was writing a book and he got tired and he slept. Like there was an enemy of Ahlul Bayt, he wrote all the arguments against the school of Ahlul Bayt. And we will read these arguments from this book, and he will never ever give anybody to borrow it. So Allama al-Hilli had a good nice friendship. See how they have relations. These are our ulamas, they teach us how to be peaceful with everybody. So this had animosity of Ahlul Bayt, but Allama had a good relation. Perhaps he will be able to convince him one day to be a nice person. So anyhow, Allama told him, lend me this book. He knows that one night he cannot copy it, because they did not have Xerox machines those days. So one night, he will not be able to. So what happened? That Allama al-Hilli took this book and started writing, and until he became tired and he slept. And he woke up for Adhan al-Fajr. Oh my goodness, I have not written the book. And what will I do? He looked at the book was completely written, and that sign of the 12th Imam was there. Ajjalallahu ta'ala farajahu sharif. He took this book and rebutted it with the 2000 evidences supporting the imamate of Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salatu wasalam, from the intellect, from the history, from the logic, from the Quran and from the hadith. 2000 evidences. He's buried just beside Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam. You see the shrine of Imam Ali? There's a small chamber. You go inside, there's the grave of Al-Allama al-Hilli Ibn al-Mutahhar. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rest his soul in peace. So Najaf is like, you see a lot of ulamas. I cannot count them. There are so many ulamas buried in Najaf al-Ashraf. Some of them are buried in the shrine, some of them out of the shrine. Najaf is a monument, a museum, an Islamic, a pure museum of spirituality, education, dedication and knowledge. Najaf al-Ashraf. That's why the evil ones, they realized that the city of Najaf is threat to their evil agenda, threat to the shaitan. So they try to eliminate him by putting Saddam Hussein and all these crises. But Alhamdulillah, Najaf survives by the blessings of Amir al-Mumineen alayhi salatu wasalam there. Otherwise, none of the cities could survive the atrocities of Saddam. But this is Amir al-Mumineen alayhi salatu wasalam. He takes care of these kind of, wallahi, if it was not for Imam Ali, Najaf would have been a desert. Because why to live in that city under all this pressure and tortures and atrocities? That was one of the jihad of Sayyid al-Khuwi. Sayyid al-Khuwi realized they want Najaf to become a desert back again. He said, no. Ulama should not leave. Their ulama, they can leave, but there needs to be a group of ulamas, maraja, mujtahideen. They need to stay in Najaf al-Ashraf. So staying in Najaf al-Ashraf, under this torture, was jihad also. He said, yes, there was a jihad of Imam Khomeini, but no, Imam Khomeini had a jihad also. They used to pressure him to give a fatwa against the Islamic Republic. No, they killed his beloved ones. They killed his beloved students, scholars. They killed his beloved two son-in-laws. They, after his martyrdom, they killed his sons also. So this is the evil direction of Saddam Hussein, that they wanted to get things out of Sayyid al-Khuy, but they were not able to. They wanted Najaf al-Ashraf to become empty. They were not able to. So the plan was, first of all, to empty Najaf al-Ashraf. They were not able to. Then to contain Najaf al-Ashraf and make it Wahhabi Najaf al-Ashraf. And alhamdulillah, they were not able to do that as well. That's why Sayyid Muhammad Baqir al-Hakim, when he kept his first step in Najaf al-Ashraf after exile of so many years, in Qom, in Iran, he was exiled. He came back to Iraq. The first thing said, do not give up the azadari of Imam Hussein. Do not give up the lamentation, grieving, all the ceremony azadari of Imam Hussein. Do not give up. Because this is what's keeping all our Shiism alive. They tried to eliminate this. Saddam tried all his best to eliminate azadari of Imam Hussein. And alhamdulillah, he was not able to. So azadari lives. Najaf al-Ashraf lives. Qom lives. Shiism lives. So that's why we need to really emphasize, because that's why we commemorate the martyrdom of Imam Hussein. That's where we're going to go when we go to Karbala. Now still we're in Najaf al-Ashraf. We're visiting the shrine of Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam. Shrine of Imam Ali basically is a historical place, like historical museum. There's so many stories which happened inside the shrine. So many miraculous wonders it happened inside the shrine of Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam. I cannot mention. I just mentioned about the marifa yesterday. People, they come, they knock the door of Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, they get what they need. Halal al-mashakil, solvers of the problem. So Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam is living. He's there with his soul and he responds to his visitors. So just maintain this kind of spirituality when you enter the shrine, when you enter Wadi Salam. Ya sahib al-qubbat al-nawra'if al-najafi. Oh, the one who has this golden dome in Najaf. Man zara qabraka. Whoever visits your grave, wastashfa ladayka shufi, and seeks cure and healing, will become healed and will get the cureness. So, asahib al-qubbat al-nawra'if al-najafi, man zara qabraka wastashfa ladayka shufi. Anyone who comes and he seeks cureness, he will get it, because you are my doctor. Allah made you doctor for me. Allah made you solver of the problem for me. You are the door of Allah. The same way Prophet Isa alayhi salatu wasalam was the door of Allah. The same way Prophet Musa alayhi salatu wasalam was the door of Allah and used to solve the problem of Bani Israel. The same way Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the same way the door of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salatu wasalam, is. Just imagine. Imagine all what you hear, the lectures of Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam, about his merit, about his Najul Balagha, about his words in Siffin, Jamal. Bring the whole history of Imam Ali there. Picture it when you are visiting Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib. Remember his martyrdom, then the sad night of Laylatul Qadr. So let's wrap up this section and see what we have missed here. So Najaf is a city where are located the shrine of Imam Ali alayhi salam, whose vicinity are also buried the remains of the prophets Adam and Noah. I mean, not in vicinity, inside the grave. The Ji'aika, those who are sleeping with you. So the pilgrim should fully realize that Imam Ali occupies the highest position next to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Even amongst the Imams of Ahlul Bayt, he occupies the most superior position. Therefore, it behoves the pilgrims of the maximum opportunity. It's just like that, the toppest thing you could do. That's Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam. And then also, one should also not lose the opportunity to visit the graves of ulama who are buried, like Allama al-Hilli and Muqaddas al-Ardabili, another giant. I did not mention Muqaddas al-Ardabili. Muqaddas al-Ardabili, this one who comes one night and the locked gates of shrine of Imam Ali open for him. He goes inside, visits Imam Ali. He goes there to Masjid al-Sahla, communicates with the 12th Imam Ajjalallahu ta'ala Farajahu Sharif. Muqaddas means holy. He's so pious and so secure. He was never ever seen to stretch his leg. Why? They say, how can I stretch my leg while sleeping, while sitting? I'm in the presence of God. I'm in the presence of God. It's disrespectful for me to sit while stretching my leg or sleep while stretching my leg. So this was like Muqaddas al-Ardabili. Imagine this kind of great personality. So therefore, it's just we go there and appreciate these great personalities. Then according to the hadith, whoever comes to the shrine of Imam Ali alayhi salam and offers 2 rakat salat and then prays to Allah
to remove all the problems or worries, surely his prayers and supplications will be answered. The door of solver of the problem, the door of Imam Ali alayhi salam, the door of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salatu wasalam. According to Allama al-Majlisi, Ziyarat, which is famously known as Ziyarat Aminullah. The Ziyarat Aminullah is one of the authentic and reliable Ziyarat. It's very highly recommended that the mu'mineen recite this Ziyarat. As I mentioned, there are a lot of karamat happen, mu'jizas, miracles, wonders had happened inside Najaf al-Ashraf. And we don't have at that time to go through all these. Just like Najaf al-Ashraf by itself, Shaykh Bahauddin al-Amili, he secured Najaf al-Ashraf with a kind of talisman. That means no snake enters, no dog, no alcohol. But unfortunately, all that talisman gone with Saddam and all these evil people, they messed up with everything. Evil started in Najaf al-Ashraf, all these kind of thing. Now you see dogs in Najaf. There were in time of Saddam, there were alcohol in Najaf al-Ashraf. Na'udhu billah. And also Shaykh al-Baha'i is known, Shaykh al-Bahauddin al-Amili is known. He also had wonders in Isfahan, like that candle which used to heat up a tank, which served the city of Isfahan with hot water. And when the British, they came, they took this candle to make experiments. They were not able to light it down. And also they have the minarets, they are still there. If you go to Isfahan, you stand in one minaret, try to shake it, other minaret will shake also. These two minarets are shaking minarets. And then also there's the dome, where you say anything, when you stand under it, it's seven times it repeats. Like he was a spiritual architecture. He used to do something with some spirituality in it, and these amazing things happen. It's not amazing because Quran talks a lot about these spiritualities, and it needs a strong spiritual heart, clean heart, to perform all this. We mentioned about Wadi Salam, Masjid al-Kufa. Masjid al-Kufa we mentioned, I'm just going to quickly go through it. Masjid al-Kufa occupies very high position in the Islamic perspective. There are four hadith which says that it is one of those four chosen mosques. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has reported to have that the surah of Watini was Zaytun, the fig, is the Masjid al-Kufa based on one narration. And then I'll just skip all these, there's a lot of things. Like we have Masjid al-Kufa and then Medina, and then we have Baytul Maqdis, Zaytun, Turi Sina, Kufa, and then Hadha al-Balad al-Amin, Makkah. It is one of the mosques where if a person prays wajib salat, he'll get the reward of one accepted hajj, obligatory salat. If you pray there, usually they go pray Dhuhr and Asr there in that masjid. And it is equivalent to 1,000 rakat of salat prays elsewhere. If you pray one salat, but one advice, the ladies, the shrines of infallibles and Masjid al-Kufa, they cannot enter if they have period. If you are going to face the period, please take those pills, if they are not harmful to you, which prevent the period cycle. Periodic cycle, it delays it, whatever, it prevents the period. So just take those pills just to, in order to not to be deprived from all these great thawab. And if you're not able to, you had the intention, inshallah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you the based on intention. But you cannot enter Masjid al-Kufa, you cannot enter inside the shrines of infallibles alayhi salatu wasalam. So basically, if one prays one mustahab salat, he gets the thawab, the reward of full umrah. One recommend. So one obligatory salat, one accepted hajj. Not any hajj. Hajj might be accepted or not might be accepted. This is one accepted hajj. And one full umrah, if you pray recommended salat. Because you are going to pray several recommended. Beside each pillar, there is a pillar of Imam Sadiq, alayhi, pillar of Imam Zal Abdin, pillar of Prophet Adam, and pillar of Imam Ali, alayhi. All these pillars and maharib, there are certain salat, recommended salat you offer. If it's crowded and you feel that you get lost and everybody in the caravan might get lost, then get them together in one place and then offer these all salat together. Because they have salat dua, just because sometimes if the caravan is big, the time is short and you are with group of people, then offer them together. Offer them together. One person recites the dua loudly and people they can offer two rakats together. Like it's not a congregational jama'at, but it's a mutaba'a, following. So that people they are together. Yes. So what happens whenever, like there are sometimes these groups of caravan, they go, they can, like if everybody goes, because it's nowadays you'll find the Masjid al-Kufa packed with groups and caravans. So it's difficult for to take the caravan in every pillar and let them offer salat. So if that's the case, then what happens? Masjid al-Sahla, it's easy because they're short a'mal. But Masjid al-Kufa, some of the a'mals are long. So what happens? They keep the group in one corner
and you can do the all the amal with the salat and du'as and everything, and then carry on. And then you can show them that this is the amal which we did, Imam Sadiq's mihrab, this is Imam Ali's mihrab. And then you go to the place of martyrdom of Imam Ali and see the pulpit of Masjid al-Kufa, which I mentioned yesterday. I'm just scrolling this because we already spoke a lot. It is a place where a person has a choice to either pray qasr or tamam. In religious Islamic laws, Masjid al-Kufa is one of the places where you have an option to pray qasr or tamam. Either you want to pray full, either you want to offer short salat. It's a place where, according to the riwayat, most of the prophets, more than 1,070 prophets and their successors have prayed, offered salat there. It is a place where 12th Imam Ajjalallahu Ta'ala Farajahu Sharif, after the appearance, of course not, he will pray there, he will establish his government there. And we're told that if people were to know all the excellence and virtues of this mosque, then they would come here crawling. But if they know, crawling means a metaphor. That means if you don't have an airplane, if you don't have, you come walking. While walking, when you get tired and you don't have anything and you get exhausted, nothing is there, you want to reach there, you start crawling, and that's the last thing you could do, and then you fall down. So if people would have known that much thawab, reward is there in offering worship in Masjid al-Kufa, they would have come crawling. And also, even to sit there without making anything, just sit there. You're tired, you're sick, just sit there, just contemplate in the masjid and Allah. So just contemplation in Masjid al-Kufa, that's also a kind of reward and ibadah. Prophet Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam constructed a boat. I forgot to tell you about this. There's a tannur. Tannur means an oven. There's an oven area, a big oven area in the middle of the masjid. And in this oven, what happened? Usually, oven has fire in it to bake the bread and all those kind of things. So when Prophet Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam, the flood started to come, Prophet Nuh built his ark inside this masjid. So huge ark, and the masjid is huge. You will go and see by yourself, the place is very huge. So he built his ark, his ship, inside the Masjid al-Kufa. And this tannur, ufar tannur, Quran says that the water started to come out of the tannur. This is the tannur inside Masjid al-Kufa. But the first water started to gush out was from the tannur, and then the rain and the flood and all those kind of things flooded them. Once arriving the masjid, after entering, there are several spots where it is recommended to go and pray salat and make a dua and hajat also, because doors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you can ask your needs. The first place is Maqam Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, when one should pray salat and make tasbih and recite the ziyarat. You'll find these in your books of ziyarat, which will be given to you by the caravan leader, or Mafatihul Jinan. Next is Dakkatul Qadha, the platform of court of Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam, where there used to be the ayah of Inna Allaha Ya'muru bil Adli wal Ihsani, and here is recommended to pray also. Next is the Maqam Baytul Tasht. We said that famous historical event, the lady who felt there's something inside her, a child is growing inside her, but she had never ever slept with anybody, so people, they were almost going to stone her until Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam saved that day. The next one is to proceed towards the center of the Dakkatul Mi'raj, like where Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, while he was coming, going to the heavens, Isra, remember, the Prophet traveled from Mecca to Palestine, Jerusalem. He also descended on Dakkatul Mi'raj in Masjid, because every Prophet offered salat there. This great man, how can Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam miss that opportunity? It can never happen. Imam Ali did that. How can Prophet miss that opportunity which Imam Ali did and all the Prophet did, salamullah? Prophet is above them. He will not miss it. So while Mi'raj, he was taken down to this masjid because of the great merits of this masjid, and an honor to offer salat in this masjid. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam offered his salat there. So this is Mi'raj from Mecca on his way to Jerusalem, passed over here. Jibreel showed him. Of course, people say, okay, in geography, Mecca, Jerusalem straight, Kufa is here. How could they pass over? Okay, they went through, like, they went through Kufa to Jerusalem. Like many times you have transit flights, so you have a destination here, but the hub is this side. So you have to go to the hub and then go to the destination. So let's say this was a hub of transit flight for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What a big deal. No big deal. Because of the merit, Jibreel took that route. Prophet offered his salat there and then went to Jerusalem. And Jibreel showed him the place and he requested for permission to stop over and prayed the salat there. So Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him to, I want to offer salat there, because every prophet offered, I want to also offer. So there's maqam of Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So maqam of Adam station of Prophet Adam alayhi salatu is there, and Adam got the tawfiq. Also, we know that he was feeling guilty about that error which was done by him, not a sin, error. And then that's why it was there. Prophet Adam used to pray day and night to get a kind of relief from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that it's okay, don't worry about it, Adam. So that kind of thing came to him. Next is Maqam-e Jibra'il, recommended to pray Salat, Dua of Hajat. Next is Maqam-e Imam Zainul Abidin. All these Maqamat, the stations of our A'immas alayhimus salam. And next to Babul Faraj, which is known to be Maqam-e Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam. And again, Dua and Tasbih al-Zahra. Generally speaking, the historical significance of Masjid al-Kufa, it's an amazing thing in Masjid al-Kufa. You have to gain a lot of spirituality when you are there. And then we have furthermore, like we try to pray and ask with supplication or concentration and try to pray sincerely. Like many times you'll see the group is offering salat and their caravan is going here and there. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Close your eyes! Down, focus, concentrate. I mean, I have problem this with many zuwars when I take zuwar. So I tell them to do some assignment by themselves. And I'm just sitting there resting for a while to come back. Those people who have not completed some of the salat. So when I do with the group, there are some, they come late and some of them. So I tell them, do this. And I sit down just to, and I see their eyes are going with the zuwar. What is he doing? What is that doing? Why is this group? Come on, you are here not to look at the zuwar. It's a curiosity, I mean, but it's a really weird thing that we are here to concentrate. Instead of concentrating, like I said, Salamu alayka ya Abu Abdullah al-Hussein, you say salam and you're looking here and looking there. Focus on the ziyarah, close your eyes. Now, shut, no more peeking. Because the eyes open, it goes here and there, looks everywhere. People, they're doing weird shit, people are fighting, people are running away, people are doing a lot of things happen around you. Just focus on your ziyarat. That shaitan trying to take your eyes away from the direction of the ziyarat. So like all kinds and sorts of detraction from one's mind. So one should concentrate. Finally, as one recites the ziyarat at various spots and sends the greetings at the prophets and also declares the wilayat to Imam Ali Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and announces the love and obedience to them. Again, the idea of feeling, it's all about feeling. And I mentioned this, love and feeling and begging for the forgiveness of the sins, coming out pure, clean slate. And finally, you come to the mihrab of Amir al-Mu'mineen, which we also spoke about it. It is recommended to recite Salat and Dua, Tasbih al-Fatimah al-Zahra and Munajat, adjacent to Masjid al-Kufa. Desire, proceed to the ziyarat of Muslim ibn Aqil. We mentioned this also. When you visit this, let's see the whole idea. So when you visit the ziyarat, when you say, Assalamu alayka ya Muslim ibn Aqil, just remember the atrocity, the problems, the beheading, the loneliness of Muslim ibn Aqil, the being alone, left alone, without any helper, without any... Just remember all these things. Picture these in your mind. Because this will make your connection more stronger with the soul of Muslim ibn Aqil. And then we have this Mukhtar al-Thaqafi. We mentioned that Mukhtar al-Thaqafi was the one who was a Shia of Imam Hussein. Of course, there's a controversial about Mukhtar's personality. I'm not going to go in there. But in general, he did some good stuff. He took the retaliation. He overthrew the government of Ubaydullah ibn Ziyad in Iraq. He did a revolution on these evil ones. And he retaliated for the martyrs of Karbala. That's one of the good things. If he might have some thing problems in the history, I don't care. But for me, Alhamdulillah, this kind of thing. And Imam Zainul Abidin says, Rahimallah Mukhtar. Imam did dua for Mukhtar, that may Allah's mercy be upon Mukhtar. That gives us a good direction, that verification. Imam is verifying him. So this is the realized. Later when they were released, Mukhtar was in the prison of Kufa when the Karbala happened. And when they were released, the heinous atrocities committed by Ibn Ziyad and his commander, Mukhtar organizes an army and chased, pursued as many perpetrators of the massacre of Karbala. Anyhow, over and all, this movement did indirectly receive the approval of Imam. Therefore, the Zair should greet him and we do ziyarat to him, because whatever his history is, he did a great job in doing jihad and fighting. They say, no, he did jihad for himself just to get the rule of the government and all those kind of things. I mean, innama al-a'malu bin-niyyat, who are we to judge those kind of things? And maybe he did some of the taqiyya or some of the ways to approach a certain direction. We know at the end, he got the blessings of Imam alayhi salatu wasalam. Han ibn Urwa, he supported the Muslim ibn Aqil. When Muslim ibn Aqil came to Kufa, he hosted him and he did his best until he was killed by Ubaydullah ibn Ziyad before Muslim ibn Aqil's martyrdom. And then we have, like, these are segments of the ziyarat. Kumail ibn Ziyad Nakha'i, Dua Kumail, the one whom Imam Ali taught him Dua Kumail, and to whom he taught the special Dua. And he was one of the closest companions of Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam. Like many people, they go there and recite Dua Kumail. If you have time, do it. Just appreciate Kumail. Thank you for passing us this treasure of Imam Ali, generations after generation. But the thing is that sometimes the caravan leader is really in tight time frame, because you go there for like 1 week or 9 days, you stay 3 days in Karbala, 3 days in Najaf al-Ashraf, and 3 days in Kaghmain. One day you go to Samarra, that cuts it out. So barely you are like in a very tight, short time. And Maytham al-Tammar, I mentioned also, the one who was crucified. And then we have Masjid al-Hannana. We said that Imam Hussein alayhi salatu wasalam's head was kept there. And when the body of Imam Ali was taken from Kufa to Najaf to be buried there, the masjid had paid respect and grieved during the passage of the walls raised or leaned or something happened to the wall, some kind of miraculous thing. And it is not surprising, according to the Quranic teachings, because we are taught that elements of particles and universe have life of their own, whereby they are aware of, like, everything glorifies Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. يُسَبِّحُ لِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا. Everything, the living and non-living, to us non-living, but to Allah it's living. They glorify Allah. But we cannot understand their glorification. Their language is different. We cannot understand the language of the animals. So how can we understand the language of the non-living, like to us non-living? All these things are living to Allah. وَالنَّجْمُ وَالشَّجَرُ يَسْجُدَانُ. And the tree prostrates to Allah. The stars, they prostrate to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So all these are like glories. And then we have Masjid al-Sahla. We mentioned that there are maqamat, also stations you'll be doing, but the main thing is communicate with the 12th Imam Ajjalallahu ta'ala Farajahu Sharif. And in the past, all the prophets have prayed also at Masjid al-Sahla. And then we have it according to the riwayah that Mu'mini's hearts are naturally like Masjid al-Kufa. You'll see Sunnis, they will come, Shias. But Masjid al-Sahla is pure for the Shias. You will not find Sunnis inside Masjid al-Sahla. It's just the 12th Imam's house. So Masjid al-Sahla, you become like magnetically like attracted towards Masjid. When you go there, you want to go Masjid al-Sahla. It's the house of your Imam. You want to go and visit your Imam in his house, the 12th Imam, the living Imam. And you feel his existence there. You have to feel it. If you purify your heart and you love your Imam, you communicate with him, you will feel that Imam is welcoming me. Imam is in his house. And every Tuesday, he has to be there, because all the guests from around the world, they come there every Tuesday and recite Dua Tawassul for the 12th Imam. Whoever prays here in Masjid Sahla with sincere heart, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept his prayers. This mosque reported angels descend and ascend in their thousands, numbers ascending and descending angels. Especially if a person is grief-stricken and comes on Tuesday night and makes dua between Maghrib and Isha. This is the specific a'mal of Masjid. Now, Masjid al-Sahla is under Ayatullah al-Uzma Sayyidina Muhammad Sa'id al-Tabatabai. So we ask him, because we cannot go and pray behind anybody who prays Jamaat. You need to know at least. So Masjid al-Sahla mostly are Zuwar. How will we know that these people, they know the Imam Jamaat, the congregational leader of that Masjid? So we asked in Muhammad Sa'id al-Tabatabai's office. They said it is our representative who goes and offers the Salat there, and he's trusted. So that's why you can offer Jamaat Salat, and in between the Jamaat Maghrib and Isha, they give you some time to offer this Dua and this Salat, which is recommended in Masjid al-Sahla. Whoever has any sort of Hajat, he comes at this mosque and prays, his hajat will be fulfilled. You are praying in the hospitality of our beloved living 12th Imam Mahdi al-Qa'im Ajjalallahu ta'ala farajahu. Just remember that Masjid al-Sahla, which is will be the house of the Imam alayhi salatu wasalam. It is recommended also to do dua tawassul. It's basically seeking intercession with the holy 14th Masumin and 14 types of following dua. All these kind of duas are mentioned. And inshallah, just one more thing about Najaf al-Ashraf. For your information, when Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam was martyred, he had a lot of enemies. They were seeking to insult Imam Ali, violate Imam Ali, the sanctity of Imam Ali. When Imam Ali was martyred, they were planning to dig out, exhume the body of Imam Ali and mutilate the body because of that retaliation, the fire of retaliation. It was not enough that they killed Imam Ali alayhi salam. So what happened? That when Imam Hassan Hussein came and buried Imam Ali alayhi salam in Najaf al-Ashraf, the grave got disappeared. I mean, disappeared means nobody knew where the grave is, because it became one of those graves which are in this cemetery area. So what happens?
Nobody knows where did the grave go. So the grave was disappeared until the time of Harun al-Rashid. Nobody knew where the grave of Imam Ali is. Until the time of Harun al-Rashid. Harun al-Rashid was hunting the deer, and the deer goes and seeks beside the grave, an old grave. And he starts to cry and grieve. Harun al-Rashid got surprised. What is this? What's the problem? Why is this? Anyhow, later on he asked out. There was an old guy, he said, that this grave is grave of Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib. So he said, why? Like Harun Rashid pretends to be cousin and all those kind of things. So he says that, what is this grave doing here? Grave of Imam Ali, it is not uncovered. So Harun Rashid plans to own, and we need to make, and they confirmed with Imam Musa al-Kadhim alayhi salatu wasalam. Imam Musa al-Kadhim alayhi salatu wasalam, and the Imams, they verified, yes, this is the grave of Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salatu wasalam. So therefore you can see that even the grave of Imam Ali, for about 150 years, it was not known where is it in Najaf al-Ashraf. They know it's in Najaf al-Ashraf, but where exactly, they don't know, because the enemies of Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, they wanted to exhume and mutilate and disrespect the body of Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib. So here we end the Najaf, and inshallah, in our next session, we'll go to Karbala and visit Imam Hussein alayhi salatu wasalam and learn a little bit. And we cannot cover all Karbala and all the details. It's like Majalis of Ashura, we'll have to start. But I'm not going to talk Majalis. I'm just going to mention a little bit, the bits and pieces about the things which are in Karbala. Wa sallallahu ala Muhammadin wa alihi tahirin.